News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
What we're coming on to now is a story people might have seen, a breaking news coming up in their feeds this morning about the Chinese have landed a probe on the dark side of the moon. They are the first country to land on that particular side of the moon. It has been called a historic event. To explain in more detail its significance is space expert Leo Enright joining us on the line. Leo, good morning.
Very good morning.
How important is this? You know, God, we've been to the moon before, haven't we?
We have, yeah. But let me set one thing straight. I don't normally contradict presenters on radio programs. It's usually a really bad idea. But in this occasion, I'm going to have to do it. There is no such thing as the dark side of the moon.
Oh, because Pink Floyd moon, would beg to differ. Go on.
The dark side of the moon is the greatest album ever released by a rock band in human history. It was made by the great Pink Floyd. The dark side of the moon is a myth. The far side of the moon is lit by the sun just as frequently as the side that we see. It's the side, however, that we don't see because the Earth and the moon are locked in a kind of a dance of gravity that forces the moon to face us just one side all the time. So we humans, apart from a few men who have gone around the moon, have only seen this side, our side of the moon. And it's the far side that the Chinese landed on at about 4 o'clock this morning. I'm wrecked. It's been a really, really long night. They landed successfully, and it's an astonishing achievement because nobody has ever landed on the far side of the moon before.
Given that that side of the moon is lit up just as much as the side that we're more familiar with, why is it such a big achievement? Just because you can't see it, so we can't map it, you don't know where you're going?
Exactly. We really don't know all that much. Even though we photographed it from orbit, from many, many spacecraft now have orbited the moon, including, of course, these Apollo missions that actually carried men. There were no women on the Apollo missions, sadly. But the men of Apollo saw the far side of the moon from orbit, but nobody has ever seen it up close until this morning. About 2 hours ago, I saw, along with everybody else that was around awake at this stage, I saw the first picture ever sent from the surface of the far side of the moon. And it is astonishing.
What is astonishing about it?
The far side of the moon is totally different. You look at the moon tonight, and you'll recognize it. It's kind of, you know, the man in the moon, the face. Everybody recognizes that moon. The other side of the moon is completely different. It's older. It's more cratered. There are none of those mare, as we call them, the seas that we see. These are big plains of lava that we see from this side and that look like, for instance, the eyes of the man in the moon. There's nothing like that on the far side. It's mostly mountains and craters. And so it's very difficult to land on. And what's amazing is that the Chinese were able to put this robot successfully on the surface while the robot was out of communication with Earth. This was all being done by a computer. It's an astonishing achievement.
Beyond, though, the engineering and the mechanics and the logistics of trying to land on this surface that we can't readily see, and as you said, that the capsule was out of touch with Earth. Now that they're on it, what is the significance of being there? It looks different, but are you likely to find anything there that you wouldn't find on the side we're more familiar with?
Yeah, I think one of the big things about the far side of the moon is that when it's not pointed towards the sun, when it's away from the sun, and it's pointed, of course, always the far side of the moon away from the Earth, it is the quietest, in radio terms, the quietest place in the solar system. You cannot you don't get any of the noise, the radio noise that comes from all these humans living on Earth, using their mobile phones, broadcasting television signals, dare I say it, even news talk broadcasting, its radio signals would disrupt anything that you were trying to do on the surface of the moon if you were on this side of the moon. But if you go to the other side of the moon, it's totally silent.
Can I ask a silly question? How are the Chinese speaking to their capsule up there?
Now, you asked a very good question, a very sensible question. Very simple. They did something nobody has tried to do before. They put a communication satellite, there's loads of them, we use them for our mobile phones and for all sorts of things here on Earth. They put one of these things way beyond the moon so that the communication satellite could relay the signals from Earth to the communication satellite and then down to the far side of the moon to this lander. So as I'm speaking to you, as I understand it, and we're not getting huge amounts of information from Beijing, but as I understand it right now, as you and I are talking, the controllers in Beijing are talking to a tiny little rover that is about to, in the next few minutes, roll down a gangplank down onto the surface of the moon and is going to start roving across the surface of the moon on the far side to explore it.
I'm relieved. I don't know about anyone else to realise that at least now they can get news talk on the dark side of the moon or the so-called dark side of the moon. But Leo, what's the significance of the Chinese doing this? Because a lot of focus as well in the coverage this morning of their involvement.
Yeah, it is a purely Chinese mission, although there is some European involvement. I can talk about that if you want. But what I found really very interesting, I've been literally up all night working on this. And one of the things I've been doing in the quiet moments is I've been reading young Chinese people's posts on Weibo, which is the Chinese version of Twitter. Mm. And it's really interesting. They're getting very excited. And Weibo, of course, because China is so big, it's probably, I think in some ways, it's bigger than Twitter. But we in Europe aren't familiar with it. But these young Chinese people are saying, hey, we're starting to catch up with everybody else. And then the other point they make is we're going to overtake them and we're going to be better than them.
And will they? And because so, I know they're planning things like, you know, it seems pie in the sky stuff. They're talking about a crewed space station, a moon base, Mars rovers as well, all within the foreseeable future, heavier rockets than NASA and SpaceX.
Absolutely. And I'm with a team, actually a German team, who have supplied one of the instruments aboard this mission. They've been incredibly excited all night because their instrument is about to be switched on. It might even have been switched on while we're talking. But their instrument is specifically designed to study how a human, a woman or a man standing on the surface of the moon would be affected by radiation. What are the problems involved in living and working on the moon for long periods? That is because the Chinese and us Europeans are thinking about sending women and men to the moon in the near future. My thought is, however, that when the first European woman or man arrives on the moon, they will find there's a Chinese person there before them.